The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. I want to preach tonight a message entitled, The Battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Now, to give you a setting for this passage of Scripture, the children of Israel had just witnessed a miraculous deliverance by the strong arm of the Lord and bringing them out of the bondage and the shackles of Egypt. They had seen God do miraculous things on their behalf when He sent the 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt. God had literally brought the most powerful nation of that day to its knees. And they had witnessed it all firsthand. God had so worked on their behalf that on the night of the Passover, the Egyptians not only sent them away, but began to take off their jewelry and their gold and their earrings, and they enriched the Israelites by giving them all of these spoils. The Israelites had been redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. They were now bound for the promised land of Canaan, or so they presumed. However, before the Israelites were ever to get into the promised land, they had to learn some lessons. Even though they'd been redeemed and set free from the bondage of Egypt and the tyranny of Pharaoh, they were not exempt from the difficulties and the battles that would yet await them. And so it's true with us. We're saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but we are not exempt from valleys, the furnace of affliction, and trials, and battles against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We've been set at liberty by faith in the finished work of our Lord, but we're not exempt from spiritual warfare against sin and the devil. Just as the Israelites had to trust completely in the blood of the Passover lamb in salvation, they also had to trust in God for victory in the battles that they were yet to face. There are so many spiritual lessons in this. There's more to the Christian life than just being redeemed and set free and exempt from hell and the punishment thereof. There are victories to be won. But the victories require us to do battle at different times in our lives. We must not just trust Christ in salvation. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We must trust Him for victory in the battles of life. And the reason why I often get discouraged is because so often my mind is on the circumstances and the battle and the thing that's ahead of me instead of on the Lord. And recognizing the fact that I have victory in Him. I have faith that overcomes the world through Jesus Christ. So we have to learn to cast ourselves upon the Lord. We have to learn that we can have no confidence in the flesh. We can't lean on our own fleshly understanding and our own reasonings. The battle is the Lord's. He's the one that will bring us victory and strength and healing. And we have to trust Him if we're going to have victory in our life. If it were any other way, we would probably be boasting on what we have done, rather than saying, look at what great things God has done. Look at the way that He brought us through. The Bible says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, we'll continue our reading. Well, let's look at the first four verses. We've already read those. It was God that led Israel to encamp with their faces to the Red Sea with the wilderness on either side of them, and Pharaoh and his armies in the back of them. God's the one that put them in that position. In fact, when you read the backstory, you find out that it was God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh decided to come and try to recapture the children of Israel. But God placed them in a very precarious position. In fact, it was such a difficult place, there would be no human means of deliverance. They were put in a position where only a supernatural act of God could save them and deliver them. Now, it's interesting, the names where they were camped are very significant in the Hebrew language. Pi-hahiroth means the place of liberty. Migdal means tower or fortress. God places us in circumstances to show Himself strong and to increase our faith. And we may not understand the significance of it, but God is going to work things out. Now, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. Pharaoh was moved to change his mind and pursue after the Israelites and attempt to bring them back into captivity. Pharaoh is typical. He's a type of Satan. The Egyptians of the sins and the difficulties of the world, they'll always pursue us. Satan will always seek to devour God's people. The world is not your friend. It's an enemy that wants to entrap you and bring you back into captivity. In fact, the Egyptians said, why did we let them go in the first place? Pharaoh came upon Israel with all his might. How amazing when you think about this. Must it have been for those Israelites when they were delivered? We're talking about 600 chariots of war plus other chariots. These were led by captains of warfare. He came on this unarmed nation, just recently delivered from slavery and bondage. He came at them with soldiers. And I've often thought about what a frightful noise it must have been. To be there. You got to remember, this is back in a time when there's no cars, no airplanes, no
extracurricular noise. You're by the Red Sea. You can hear the waves kind of splashing up on from the Red Sea. And all of a sudden you begin to hear hoofbeats in the distance. And perhaps as they got closer and it got louder, the ground began to tremble under the horses' hooves, and they could feel, they could hear. And this must have been so frightening for the children of Israel.
Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Well, that's a pretty pathetic response. We see Israel's unbelief. What's the main problem here? Their eyes were on Pharaoh instead of God. They became sore afraid and troubled about their circumstances, and they began to complain and murmur against old Pastor Moses. You're the guy we told you when we were in Egypt. Just leave us alone, man. We don't want any trouble from Pharaoh. Preachers are always causing trouble. And they're murmuring against Pastor Moses in spite of everything they'd already seen. I mean, can you imagine living through the 10 plagues and seeing God deliver you time after time after time, and then the redemption of the Passover lamb and the Egyptians giving you their wealth and their possessions and their jewelry, and you're leaving going, isn't this something, man? Everything's great. And then when it comes to real hard times, you get your eyes off the Lord and on Pharaoh. They began to murmur. They began to complain. You know, the longer I live, the more I see how much of an Israelite I really am. We are prone to murmur, prone to doubt. Their unbelief brought about carnal reasoning. They began to reason irrationally. They weren't thinking right. This is what happens when we get our eyes off the Lord and on our circumstances. The same thing happens to us when we're walking in the flesh. We don't think right. We operate out of a carnal mind rather than a spiritual mind. Rather than looking to God, we look at our circumstances. Rather than trusting Him in the battle, we think that we're just going to be overcome and there's no hope. There's always hope with God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, for he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Well, notice verse 13. The Israelites were troubled. They were in unbelief. But Moses had faith. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen this day, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and shall hold your peace. Wow. What courage in the face of what seemed to be insurmountable difficulties and circumstances. He was a good pastor, old Pastor Moses. He told them that God was going to bring about the victory. Moses believed God. He believed it when God said that they were going to go in to the promised land. And notice his counsel. Don't do anything but look to God, who will show himself strong on your behalf. Moses knew that God wanted Israel to come to an end of themselves so they could only look to God for deliverance. He understood that. He gave them the greatest advice. And these verses right here, verse 13 and 14, when you come to a rough place in your life, when you're facing battles, when you are facing insurmountable circumstances, go back to Exodus 14. Read verses 13 and 14 and see the counsel that Moses gave to the children of Israel. He said, "Fear not." You know, the first time that phrase is used in the Bible is Genesis 15:1, "Fear not. God is our shield and our exceeding great reward." That's what God told Abraham, not to fear. Romans 8, "If God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us." Don't fear the circumstances. Trust God. Stand still. Well, that's contrary to the way we normally think. Usually what happens when trouble comes, instead of waiting upon God, we think we got to figure it out all on our own. And we get worried and we get fretful and we try to fix things, and we got to go to God. We got to seek His face, seek His will. And then He says, "See the salvation of the Lord. Just as you did when you were saved by the blood of the Passover lamb. And you as a child of God, look to Him. Cast yourself upon Him. Now you must do the same thing in discipleship. God can give us the victory, but we got to look to Him. Not to ourselves, not to our own strength, not to our own ability, but to the Lord." And He said, "The Lord will fight for you. He'll destroy your enemies. He'll deliver you." Look what He said in verse 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me?" It's almost like, "Moses, all right, you've said enough. I want you to get these people moving across the Red Sea. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his horsemen," or upon his chariots, "and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horses." Go forward. Forget about the Egyptians. Look to God. Act on His promise. I am going to deliver you. Now, if I would have been Moses, I would have thought, "Lord, are you sure? You just want me to take this rod and put it out over the Red Sea? And that you're telling me now, Lord, that you're going to cause us to go over and the Egyptians are going to come after us and you're going to make it known, your power known?" I probably would have started trying to have a little conversation with the Lord. Now, I realize that rod in the hand of Moses by the power of God had already done
some extraordinary things, but splitting the Red Sea, that's a huge undertaking. And then drowning all the enemies,
that's what God told him to do. Look at verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. The pillar, representing God's presence. The angel of the Lord goes behind to protect them and separate them. God was already starting the work of victory. He was separating them from their enemies. He was separating them from their circumstances. The people that they feared. In verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the dry sea dry land, and the waters were delivered, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. This is an impossible deliverance. There's nothing like this. All of you probably been to the ocean before. Could you even envision such a sight that all night long the waters began to roll back and they became like a wall? And the ocean floor became dry by the power of God. That must have been so amazing to witness. And I wonder who it was, which was the first Israelite, that they saw all this happening and they went, Moses is right, come on, let's go. And they started going over on dry land. Through the middle of these waters, on either side of them. They are part of a miracle. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So the Egyptians presume to try to cross the Red Sea themselves. They get out there, and then God calls their chariot wheels to come off. So they can't turn around and hightail it back. God's working. He delivered the Israelites miraculously. And now, Pharaoh and his chariots were conquered. It says in verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, or I read that, verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. They witnessed this firsthand. At this moment, their faith is strong as it can be. They've just been delivered by the hand of God. They saw the Red Sea open before their very eyes by faith. Each step they took was a step of faith. They'd never encountered anything like this before. They get all the way over to the other side, turn around, see Pharaoh coming after them, and all of a sudden God brings the waters that He had rolled back. He rolls them over Pharaoh and his armies. And they were drowned in the Red Sea. It says they feared the Lord. They believed God. They believed Moses. And in chapter 15, they start singing about the victory. And I wish I could say that from this moment on, the Israelites just walked in absolute victory. Wherever they went, no matter what happened, they acted in faith and said, if God can deliver us from the Red Sea, He can help us here. Wish I could say that. But they're like we are sometimes. In fact, their unbelief caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. When we see God's hand in our lives, we see miraculous deliverances. Let's not forget them easily. Let's remember them. And let's remember the next time a real difficult set of circumstances come. And you know, you may be facing something that I've never faced. But I can tell you this, God is able. He is a God of power and grace. And He might not make things turn out the way you think they should, but I believe there's victory in the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Surrender to Him. Cast it upon Him. Now, I don't know if what you'll experience will be as dramatic as the Red Sea party. But I know in my life there's been times I can remember when we were just starting out in a mission work in Xenia, Ohio. And we'd only been there probably 4 or 5 months, and an opportunity came up for us. Somebody visited the church, the mission. We didn't even have any members at this time except for me and Tammy. And a family visited. I went to visit them, and they said, would you guys like to think about getting a building? And I said, yeah, but it's just my wife and I. Now, we had several other people attending, but they hadn't joined the church yet. The mission yet. And the guy said, well, I want to show it to you. I remember me and Tammy went out there and we prayed. We asked God. There was some people were getting ready to move out of it. I said, Lord, if you want us to have this building, move them out and put us in. Now, I had a little bit of faith because when I went to talk to the guy about the building, he said, you know, I don't know what we'll do about the money. And I said, well, then just give us the building. We'll make sure that building's used for good. But he wasn't quite that spiritual. And anyway, it wound up where they agreed to sell us the building. God started saving people, started adding to our mission. And we're going through the process of trying to buy this building. And we had, in a miraculous way, one church gave us $10,000. We had raised another $20,000 or $25,000 just sacrificially among our people. And we were in the process of getting this building. And the three guys that were going to sign for the building, because you had to have three trustees, they said, well, you know, from now on, all the business of the church has to go through us, or we're not signing. I said, okay, don't worry, don't sign it.
Because three men are not going to run this church. It's a democratic body. You're not going to lord it over God's heritage. If we got to, and by this time we were already in the building. They were just letting us pay $200 a month until we got our loan. Oh, boy, you talk about, and here I am. I might have been 27 years old, 28 years old. I was just a pup. And I didn't know what to do. I called Brother Gormley and said, we're going to send your money back to you. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to get this loan. We're going to have to discipline these three men that are leaving the church because they can't run it. And you know what? God raised up somebody to lend us the money. And just miraculous. I had stayed in this guy's house many, many times before. Him and his wife. He owned a Gulf gas station. I mean, he was just a grease monkey. But this guy had money and squirreled away. And he said, hey, I'll lend you the money for what I'm getting for a CD. It was like a miracle. It was like the Red Sea opening up. And you know what? God made a way when it was totally impossible. And we were able, we organized, we became self-supporting, and we paid the land and the building off within 4 or 5 years. But it's a miracle. Sometimes you're going to see God's hand work when you can't do anything but trust Him. And you would think that when those things happen, you'll never have another crisis of faith. But all you got to do is look at the history of Israel. They continued to have crises. And they didn't remember that the battle is the Lord's. So let's learn from this. Let's all stand.